It is 6 p.m. in Havana, 5 a.m. in Astana, and 6 p.m. in Montreal. You are listening to Euronews Radio.
Euronews Radio. The news.
Europe endures more snow as the Siberian cold continues to wreak havoc across the continent.
The United Nations has strong words for the Syrian humanitarian task force. It says it is failing.
Russia unveils an array of new nuclear weapons, including a nuclear-powered missile with unlimited range.
Catalan's parliament says it wants Puigdemont for president, despite Madrid's call for another candidate.
The hunt for those responsible for the death of an investigative journalist in Slovakia intensifies as police make 7 arrests.
French far-right leader Marine Le Pen is charged for posting gruesome tweets from so-called Islamic State.
On the ground in Ghouta, no one is taking advantage of the 5-hour daily ceasefires ordered by the Russians. The first disintegrated rapidly on Tuesday as Syrian forces resumed attacks, and there's a lack of trust civilians will be unharmed. The United Nations says 5 hours isn't enough for aid convoys to get to the 400,000 people trapped in the region.
The message to the 23 member states of the humanitarian task force was, I think, unusually blunt today. From colleagues in the field, you are failing to help us help civilians in Syria.
A Syrian doctors group says 1,123 sick and wounded need immediate evacuation. Just one aid convoy has been able to get through back in February, with aid for just 7,200 people.
Southern Europe hasn't escaped the sign cold snap. This drone footage reveals the Eternal City is now under a blanket of snow. Tourists would normally be basking in the spring sunshine on March the 1st in St. Mark's Square, but now it's dusted in the white stuff. Airports such as here in Geneva are busy trying to keep their runways open as yet more snow falls. In central London, the streets have emptied out as people avoid travelling on public transport. It's been far worse in Scotland, where more than 300 people were stranded overnight by the snow on a motorway in North Lanarkshire. And near Montpellier in France, more vehicles were also stuck on the A750 motorway. In Montpellier itself, one policeman lost his grip trying to manoeuvre a car to a safer parking space. But there was still some fun to be had. This Santa slipped along merrily on his sleigh, pulled not by reindeer, but by a small family car.
It's 7 p.m. Policemen Guido and Chris start their night patrolling the streets of Brussels.
Monsieur?
Sir, it's the police. Outside, the temperature is -5. This special police squad tried to convince the homeless to go to a shelter for the night.
Do you want me to phone for a room for you?
We use a bit of psychology. We try to negotiate for 5 to 10 minutes, but no more, because I can already tell he doesn't want to come. But if someone really is in danger, then I try to insist. Every night, they manage to put between 5 to 10 people somewhere safe. They never use force except when a child's life is at stake. The kids are obliged to follow their parents and sleep outside in the cold, but they haven't chosen to do so. They've been patrolling for 8 years and have become friends with some of the homeless. Do they come to see you often? Always, every day, every day. When they pass by, they come and say hello. The 86-year-old lady accepts a warm place, but just next to her, this young man chooses to spend the night outside. In the social centres, there's a lot of stealing and also a lot of disease, and I prefer to avoid that. So I prefer sleeping here. At least no one bothers me. One out of two people accept the help of the squad. When this happens, the inspectors call social services to find a shelter for the night. Yes, we have a place for this man. So I suggested it and he accepted. So job done. But their work is not over. Chris and Guido are going to keep on patrolling for the whole night. Russian President Vladimir Putin has unveiled an array of new nuclear weapons. He said Russia had tested the weapons, including a nuclear-powered missile, at the end of 2017. Speaking at his annual State of the Union address, he said the new missile could reach almost any point in the world. We created the small-sized, super-powerful nuclear power plant, which can be installed in the body of a cruise missile, such as our air-based newest missile, the CH-101, or American Tomahawk, but at the same time provides tenfold bigger flying range, which can be unlimited. Putin says the new supersonic weapon cannot be tracked by anti-missile systems and is the only one of its kind in the world.
Slovak police have swooped on several addresses in eastern Slovakia near the Ukrainian border and detained seven people as the investigation into this week's double murder of a journalist and his fiancée gathers pace. Jan Kuciak was investigating links between the Italian mafia and Slovak politicians. He was the first journalist to be assassinated in the country's history. His death has shocked the nation. Police are doing home searches at several places. Other searches are planned, and we expect 10 people to be detained. Then further steps will be taken. Kuciak has named names and made a number of claims in his most recent reports. Slovak media named one of the detainees as Antonio Vadala, an Italian businessman who has links to at least two officials close to Prime Minister Robert Fico. Vidal is alleged to be involved with the Calabrian mafia, the 'Ndrangheta. The opposition has already held a protest, and more are scheduled around Slovakia and in London and The Hague on Friday. Culture Minister Marek Madaric has resigned, along with the two officials outed by Kuciak.
French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has been charged with posting gruesome images of atrocities allegedly carried out by so-called Islamic State on Twitter. One of the pictures showed the body of James Foley, an American journalist beheaded by the Sunni extremists. The two others showed a man in an orange jumpsuit being driven over by a tank, and a man being burned alive in a cage. A judge in Nanterre, just outside Paris, filed the charge. In November, the National Assembly stripped Le Pen of her parliamentary immunity over the three photos that she'd posted in 2015. Le Pen is facing charges of circulating violent messages that incite terrorism or pornography or seriously harm human dignity, and that can be viewed by a minor. The crime is punishable by up to 3 years in prison and a fine of €75,000. The pictures were posted just a few weeks after the Paris terror attacks in November 2015, which killed 130 people.
Spain's political deadlock appears set to continue, with the Catalan parliament picking up where it left off before December's regional election. In its first session since the vote, the chamber named Carles Puigdemont as its symbolic leader.
Just over two-thirds of the House backed the motion in favor of the separatist leader, who remains in exile in Belgium. The House also repeated its support of last October's banned referendum and stressed the importance of forming an effective government for the region. It comes despite Madrid's call for a president to be chosen who's in Spain, not in jail, or facing any problems with the law. It's now reported that Puigdemont will withdraw his candidacy to be leader in favor of pro-independence campaigner Jordi Sanchez. But he's being held on remand in Madrid on sedition charges.
The controversial face of the EU Commission's new Secretary-General, the appointment of German Martin Selmayr, a right-hand man of President Jean-Claude Juncker, came as such a shock to some that MEPs have now voted to probe his selection. The exact nature of the investigation is unclear right now. It's not normal for commissioners who are deciding on such a position to not know before a session that this point was on the agenda, he says. The appointment of a new Secretary General was not there. It meant the commissioners couldn't discuss beforehand in an informal way who would be the best candidate. Former head of cabinet, Selmayr is a man nicknamed the Monster. He's said to have his enemies and to be unpopular among commission officials. And one journalist told Euronews that the French aren't happy that a German has landed the top civil servant job. This post was destined for the French, he says, and in Paris, I don't hide it. They're furious about what's happened, and at Berlin too, because the Chancellor had made a commitment to Emmanuel Macron for this to be a French-filled post. So, don't look for a state behind this choice. It's a personal ambition to the maximum. It's not known when the probe will start, but it will no doubt be closely watched amid lots of questions over transparency.
Theresa May and European Council President Donald Tusk have held crunch Brexit talks. The Downing Street meeting comes a day before the Prime Minister is due to make a landmark speech on Britain's future relationship with the Union. The two discussed the transition period while Mrs. May reiterated her rejection of the draft withdrawal treaty published by the EU. Europe's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, said the UK's decision to quit the bloc shows it no longer wants to respect the rules. The bottom line is that we have to preserve this unique market that the British have chosen to leave, unfortunately, because they no longer want to respect the rules. But we must continue to rely on this unique market, because this is very important to our unity. One of the main sticking points remains Northern Ireland. The EU has proposed to incorporate the province in a customs union to avoid a hard border with the Republic. Mrs. May has said that no British Prime Minister could ever agree to this.
A prominent British visitor in Brussels usually means more tough Brexit talks. Not this time. Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair continues his Brexit intervention, hoping to change the course of negotiations.
The critical thing is you can't rerun the referendum. But what you can do is say the British people have got a right to have a final say on the final deal. Because then that's not something that they have yet proclaimed on. And Parliament, first of all, has got to consider it. Now, I think Parliament will find it hard to reach an agreement. If they don't reach an agreement, then it's open to go back to the people and let the people make the final choice.
One sticking point is what will happen to the Irish border. A future Brexit deal could potentially be at odds with the Good Friday Agreement, which eased sectarian tensions in Northern Ireland.
Anything that stands in the way of Brexit, and the Good Friday Agreement is a complication for the Brexit people, they're prepared to get rid of, even if it means that the peace in Northern Ireland is put at risk. It's a totally irresponsible position.
For the British, Blair says the core dilemma of Brexit is this: lose control of economic rules or lose trade.
The revolving doors at the White House are turning again as the US president seeks another communications chief. It follows the surprise resignation of Hope Hicks, one of Donald Trump's longest and most trusted serving aides. Hicks is the fourth different person to hold the post since Trump took office. Now, her sudden departure is being linked to the inquiry into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
She was on Capitol Hill just one day before announcing her resignation, answering questions from lawmakers for hours. She is someone that Mueller's team has wanted to talk to about various incidents that she was involved in. So she's right in the center of that controversy.
Like her boss, the 29-year-old former model had no previous political experience before joining his election campaign.
Something must be done. Donald Trump has called on U.S. lawmakers to go big on legislation to prevent more school shootings.
We can't wait.
Despite pressure from the National Rifle Association, he supports stricter background checks and raising the legal age to buy rifles from 18 to 21.
I'm the biggest fan of the Second Amendment. Many of you are. I'm a big fan of the NRA, but I had lunch with them and said, it's time. We got to stop this nonsense. It's time.
The comments came the same day classes resumed at the Florida high school where 17 people were killed 2 weeks ago in one of the country's deadliest mass shootings.
It was good to be back with everyone. I'm glad that it like brought us together instead of like dragging us apart.
My teacher was taking attendance and she accidentally said Luke's name while she was doing roll, and like a lot of people just started crying because we all knew that he was gone.
We were just trying to reinstill the sense of normalcy that we all, you know, had before this. Because at the end of the day, you know, life has to go on.
Two major U.S. retailers have already announced restrictions on gun sales. Dick's Sporting Goods will no longer sell assault-style rifles, while Walmart is raising the minimum age for buying guns to 21.
Turkey has rejected Western calls to suspend its offensive in Syria's northwestern Afrin district. It comes as new video released on social media allegedly shows Turkish-backed Syria rebels clashing with Kurdish YPG militia in the area. Ankara claims the United Nations resolution demanding a 30-day ceasefire across Syria does not apply to its five-week-old military operation, which Turkey's prime minister maintains is against a terrorist group. There are some people confusing the olive branch operation that we've been conducting in Afrin with East Ghouta, he said. It's obvious that the UN Security Council's resolution refers to East Ghouta. But Washington insists the Turks are mixed up.
Would you agree that the district of Afrin is in Syria?
The district, yes. If you look at a map, it is certainly within Syria. I would encourage Turkey to go back and read this resolution, the unanimously agreed upon resolution on Saturday.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says it's sending an aid convoy to Afrin to help some 50,000 displaced people. It's thought to be the first time this year that charities have secured an agreement from all warring sides in the area for humanitarian deliveries.
The British unit of Toys R Us has gone into administration, putting more than 3,000 jobs at risk. It's hoped all or part of the firm will be sold. Toys R Us has more than 100 stores across the UK. They'll remain open until further notice. The company has been struggling against internet giants such as Amazon. Its results over the crucial Christmas period were worse than expected, and it's planning to close at least 150 stores in the US.
Over 57,000 illegal firearms, including machine guns and a rocket launcher, were handed in by the public during a recent gun amnesty in Australia. The amnesty allowed owners to surrender their arms without penalty. Prince William will make the first royal visit to the Palestinian territories and Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the trip was historic. The visit, which will also include a stop in Jordan, is planned for later this summer.
Greater and faster connectivity is just around the corner. In 2020, 5G promises to be a reality for most of us. The fifth generation network has been a crowd favorite at the Mobile World Congress.
The race is on to deliver 10 gigabytes per second to ever-growing and data-hungry customers.
In order to connect all the things, we need to have a network that is able to accept. We are predicting a million of accesses in the square kilometers. So we need to have many devices connected in the same location. And that is the new architecture and algorithm behind the 5G.
With faster, ubiquitous, low-power connectivity, mobile networks will change our way of relating to each other and the world. By 2020, it's thought most of us will be connected somehow to the cloud via devices. It will herald new artificial intelligence to monitor our health, our homes, and how we get about in cities.
The car will be integrated much more in the digital life of our customers, which means like you have your smartphone or your smartwatch or you're using Amazon Alexa, the car will be one of these digital touch points you have, you interact with in a totally different way, since the car at the end of the day is a really powerful mobile computer.
Our correspondent at the Mobile World Congress says the deployment of 5G technology has become a strategic objective for the European Union. It's estimated that it will generate an economic activity of 130 billion euros per year, as well as 2.5 million jobs by 2025. In addition, Brussels will launch a 5G European Observatory.
Dominic Thiem and Juan Martin Del Potro have set up a quarter-final meeting in the Mexican Open. Del Potro faced a stiff battle against David Ferrer. The Argentinian took the first set 6-4, but the Spaniard hit back to take the second set by the same score. Del Potro held his nerve to win the decisive set 6-3.
Del Potro, 2-1, 6-4, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4.
Third-seeded Thiem made easy work of rising Canadian star Denis Shapovalov, powering into the final eight with a 6-2, 6-3 victory. It took Thiem, the 2016 champion in Acapulco, just 70 minutes on court to set up the clash with former US Open champion Del Potro.
New Orleans Pelicans found their range in the final 2 minutes to ease past the San Antonio Spurs 121-116. Anthony Davis was the star of the show with 26 points and 15 rebounds.
And went back again as Davis gets the...
The visitors had been trailing by up to 15 points before they rallied to win their seventh game on the trot.
Patty Mills just drills a jumper. Yeah. Rondo, always thinking pass first, and gets his big fella in the right position.
Jrue Holiday finished with 25 points for the Pelicans.
Holiday stops at the line and drills the three.
San Antonio, which had been without superstar Kawhi Leonard for all but nine games this season, lost LaMarcus Aldridge to a sprained ankle late in the second half.
Davis with the dunk. A quick 6-121.
Time and tide wait for no man, and the Australian Mick Fanning says he will be hanging up his surfboard this month. Nicknamed the White Lightning, he won his first Champions Tour title as a wildcard in 2001 and went on to win three world titles. He grabbed international headlines for his encounter with two sharks in 3 years at the Jay Bay Open. In South Africa in 2015, he was dragged off his board on live TV and had to punch a great white to escape. Another encounter 2 years later saw him being plucked to safety. Fanning says he has been surfing competitively for 17 years and has lost the drive to compete day in, day out. The 36-year-old says he will call it a day after the Rip Curl Pro Bells tournament this month.
Euronews Radio. News and music throughout the day. More news after this tune. You're listening to Euronews Radio. Download the Euronews radio app on your mobile. Available on iTunes and Google Play. Euronews Radio brings you a comprehensive selection of news throughout the day. Euronews Radio, everywhere in the world on euronewsradio.com. Euronews Radio, brought to you by Euronews, the most watched news channel in Europe. Euronews Radio, a different kind of news radio.
Euronews Radio, the weather.
Snow in London today, down the chart between 2 and 3. The scattered showers in Paris, down the chart between 4 and 8. Snow is expected in Brussels today, down the chart between 1 and 3. Very cloudy in Oslo, with sub-zero temperatures between minus 10 and minus 1. In Barcelona, it will be very sunny today, with temperatures between 9 and 16. Minus 20 is morning in Moscow, minus 9 in the afternoon, and there's sunny spots. Scattered showers in New York today, temperatures between 4 and 7. Rain is expected in Sydney, temperatures between 19 and 24. Let's go with thunderstorm in Rio de Janeiro, with temperatures between 24 and 32, and sunny skies in Johannesburg, with temperatures between 14 and 25.
Euronews Radio, the latest world news throughout the day.
But I lost all of them, and I've been searching in the night, and I've been searching in the rain. I tried to find them, but they disappeared. They walked away, they dressed in black, they left my side, and all I say is that I wasted time when I look for them. For now I know that things gone past are never to be found again. No, never, never again. I had nine lives, but lost all of them.
It is 12:30 a.m. in Lyon, 5:30 a.m. in Astana, and 12:30 a.m. in Prague. You are listening to Euronews Radio.
Euronews Radio. The news.
Europe endures more snow as the Siberian cold continues to wreak havoc across the continent.
The United Nations has strong words for the Syrian humanitarian task force. It says it is failing.
Russia unveils an array of new nuclear weapons, including a nuclear-powered missile with unlimited range.
Catalan's parliament says it wants Puigdemont for president, despite Madrid's call for another candidate.
The hunt for those responsible for the death of an investigative journalist in Slovakia intensifies as police make 7 arrests.
French far-right leader Marine Le Pen is charged for posting gruesome tweets from so-called Islamic State.
On the ground in Ghouta, no one is taking advantage of the 5-hour daily ceasefires ordered by the Russians. The first disintegrated rapidly on Tuesday as Syrian forces resumed attacks, and there's a lack of trust civilians will be unharmed. The United Nations says 5 hours isn't enough for aid convoys to get to the 400,000 people trapped in the region.
The message to the 23 member states of the humanitarian task force was, I think, unusually blunt today. From colleagues in the field, you are failing to help us help civilians in Syria.
A Syrian doctors group says 1,123 sick and wounded need immediate evacuation. Just one aid convoy has been able to get through back in February, with aid for just 7,200 people.
Southern Europe hasn't escaped the sign cold snap. This drone footage reveals the Eternal City is now under a blanket of snow. Tourists would normally be basking in the spring sunshine on March the 1st in St. Mark's Square, but now it's dusted in the white stuff. Airports such as here in Geneva are busy trying to keep their runways open as yet more snow falls. In central London, the streets have emptied out as people avoid travelling on public transport. It's been far worse in Scotland, where more than 300 people were stranded overnight by the snow on a motorway in North Lanarkshire. And near Montpellier in France, more vehicles were also stuck on the A750 motorway. In Montpellier itself, one policeman lost his grip trying to manoeuvre a car to a safer parking space. But there was still some fun to be had. This Santa slipped along merrily on his sleigh, pulled not by reindeer, but by a small family car.
It's 7 p.m. Policemen Guido and Chris start their night patrolling the streets of Brussels.
Monsieur?
Sir, it's the police. Outside, the temperature is -5. This special police squad tried to convince the homeless to go to a shelter for the night.
Do you want me to phone for a room for you?
We use a bit of psychology. We try to negotiate for 5 to 10 minutes, but no more, because I can already tell he doesn't want to come. But if someone really is in danger, then I try to insist. Every night, they manage to put between 5 to 10 people somewhere safe. They never use force except when a child's life is at stake.
les enfants sont obligés de suivre
the kids are obliged to follow their parents and sleep outside in the cold, but they haven't chosen to do so.
Les enfants n'ont pas choisi pour ça.
They've been patrolling for 8 years and have become friends with some of the homeless. Do they come to see you often? Always, every day, every day. When they pass by, they come and say hello. The 86-year-old lady accepts a warm place, but just next to her, this young man chooses to spend the night outside. In the social centres, there's a lot of stealing and also a lot of disease, and I prefer to avoid that. So I prefer sleeping here. At least no one bothers me. One out of two people accept the help of the squad. When this happens, the inspectors call social services to find a shelter for the night. Yes, we have a place for this man. So I suggested it and he accepted. So job done.
Un bon travail de fait.
But their work is not over. Chris and Guido are going to keep on patrolling for the whole night. Russian President Vladimir Putin has unveiled an array of new nuclear weapons. He said Russia had tested the weapons, including a nuclear-powered missile, at the end of 2017. Speaking at his annual State of the Union address, he said the new missile could reach almost any point in the world. We created the small-sized, super-powerful nuclear power plant, which can be installed in the body of a cruise missile, such as our air-based newest missile, the CH-101, or American Tomahawk, but at the same time provides tenfold bigger flying range, which can be unlimited. Putin says the new supersonic weapon cannot be tracked by anti-missile systems and is the only one of its kind in the world.
Slovak police have swooped on several addresses in eastern Slovakia near the Ukrainian border and detained seven people as the investigation into this week's double murder of a journalist and his fiancée gathers pace. Jan Kuciak was investigating links between the Italian mafia and Slovak politicians. He was the first journalist to be assassinated in the country's history. His death has shocked the nation. Police are doing home searches at several places. Other searches are planned, and we expect 10 people to be detained. Then further steps will be taken. Následně budou vykonávané úkony s těmito osobami a bude rozhodováno o dalším postupu. Kuciak has named names and made a number of claims in his most recent reports. Slovak media named one of the detainees as Antonio Vadala, an Italian businessman who has links to at least two officials close to Prime Minister Robert Fico. Vidal is alleged to be involved with the Calabrian mafia, the 'Ndrangheta. The opposition has already held a protest, and more are scheduled around Slovakia and in London and The Hague on Friday. Culture Minister Marek Madarić has resigned, along with the two officials outed by Kuciak.
French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has been charged with posting gruesome images of atrocities allegedly carried out by so-called Islamic State on Twitter. One of the pictures showed the body of James Foley, an American journalist beheaded by the Sunni extremists. The two others showed a man in an orange jumpsuit being driven over by a tank, and a man being burned alive in a cage. A judge in Nanterre, just outside Paris, filed the charge. In November, the National Assembly stripped Le Pen of her parliamentary immunity over the three photos that she'd posted in 2015. Le Pen is facing charges of circulating violent messages that incite terrorism or pornography or seriously harm human dignity, and that can be viewed by a minor. The crime is punishable by up to 3 years in prison and a fine of €75,000. The pictures were posted just a few weeks after the Paris terror attacks in November 2015, which killed 130 people.
Uh,
Spain's political deadlock appears set to continue with the Catalan parliament picking up where it left off before December's regional election. In its first session since the vote, the chamber named Carles Puigdemont as its symbolic leader. Just over two-thirds of the House backed the motion in favor of the separatist leader who remains in exile in Belgium. The House also repeated its support of last October's banned referendum and stressed the importance of forming an effective government for the region. It comes despite Madrid's call for a president to be chosen who's in Spain, not in jail, or facing any problems with the law. It's now reported that Puigdemont will withdraw his candidacy to be leader in favor of pro-independence campaigner Jordi Sanchez. But he's being held on remand in Madrid on sedition charges.
The controversial face of the EU Commission's new Secretary-General, the appointment of German Martin Selmayr, a right-hand man of President Jean-Claude Juncker, came as such a shock to some that MEPs have now voted to probe his selection. The exact nature of the investigation is unclear right now. It's not normal for commissioners who are deciding on such a position to not know before a session that this point was on the agenda, he says. The appointment of a new Secretary General was not there. It meant the commissioners couldn't discuss beforehand in an informal way who would be the best candidate. Former head of cabinet, Selmayr is a man nicknamed the Monster. He's said to have his enemies and to be unpopular among commission officials. And one journalist told Euronews that the French aren't happy that a German has landed the top civil servant job. This post was destined for the French, he says, and in Paris, I don't hide it. They're furious about what's happened, and at Berlin too, because the Chancellor had made a commitment to Emmanuel Macron for this to be a French-filled post. So, don't look for a state behind this choice. It's a personal ambition to the maximum. It's not known when the probe will start, but it will no doubt be closely watched amid lots of questions over transparency.
Theresa May and European Council President Donald Tusk have held crunch Brexit talks. The Downing Street meeting comes a day before the Prime Minister is due to make a landmark speech on Britain's future relationship with the Union. The two discussed the transition period while Mrs. May reiterated her rejection of the draft withdrawal treaty published by the EU. Europe's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, said the UK's decision to quit the bloc shows it no longer wants to respect the rules. The bottom line is that we have to preserve this unique market that the British have chosen to leave, unfortunately, because they no longer want to respect the rules. But we must continue to rely on this unique market because this is very important to our unity. One of the main sticking points remains Northern Ireland. The EU has proposed to incorporate the province in a customs union to avoid a hard border with the Republic. Mrs. May has said that no British Prime Minister could ever agree to this.
A prominent British visitor in Brussels usually means more tough Brexit talks. Not this time. Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair continues his Brexit intervention, hoping to change the course of negotiations.
The critical thing is you can't rerun the referendum. But what you can do is say the British people have got a right to have the final say on the final deal. Because then that's not something that they have yet proclaimed on. And Parliament, first of all, has got to consider it. Now, I think Parliament will find it hard to reach an agreement. If they don't reach an agreement, then it's open to go back to the people and let the people make the final choice.
One sticking point is what will happen to the Irish border. A future Brexit deal could potentially be at odds with the Good Friday Agreement, which eased sectarian tensions in Northern Ireland.
Anything that stands in the way of Brexit, and the Good Friday Agreement is a complication for the Brexit people, they're prepared to get rid of. Even if it means that the peace in Northern Ireland is put at risk, it's a totally irresponsible position.
For the British, Blair says the core dilemma of Brexit is this: lose control of economic rules or lose trade.
The revolving doors at the White House are turning again as the U.S. president seeks another communications chief. It follows the surprise resignation of Hope Hicks, one of Donald Trump's longest and most trusted serving aides. Hicks is the fourth different person to hold the post since Trump took office. Now, her sudden departure is being linked to the inquiry into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
She was on Capitol Hill just one day before announcing her resignation, answering questions from lawmakers for hours. She is someone that Mueller's team has wanted to talk to about various incidents that she was involved in. So she's right in the center of that controversy.
Like her boss, the 29-year-old former model had no previous political experience before joining his election campaign.
Something must be done. Donald Trump has called on U.S. lawmakers to go big on legislation to prevent more school shootings.
We can't wait.
Despite pressure from the National Rifle Association, he supports stricter background checks and raising the legal age to buy rifles from 18 to 21.
I'm the biggest fan of the Second Amendment. Many of you are. I'm a big fan of the NRA, but I had lunch with them and said, it's time. We got to stop this nonsense. It's time.
The comments came the same day classes resumed at the Florida high school where 17 people were killed 2 weeks ago in one of the country's deadliest mass shootings.
It was good to be back with everyone. I'm glad that it like brought us together instead of like dragging us apart.
My teacher was taking attendance and she accidentally said Luke's name while she was doing roll, and like a lot of people just started crying because we all knew that he was gone.
We were just trying to reinstill the sense of normalcy that we all, you know, had before this, because at the end of the day, you know, life has to go on.
Two major U.S. retailers have already announced restrictions on gun sales. Dick's Sporting Goods will no longer sell assault-style rifles, while Walmart is raising the minimum age for buying guns to 21.
Turkey has rejected Western calls to suspend its offensive in Syria's northwestern Afrin district. It comes as new video released on social media allegedly shows Turkish-backed Syria rebels clashing with Kurdish YPG militia in the area. Ankara claims the United Nations resolution demanding a 30-day ceasefire across Syria does not apply to its five-week-old military operation, which Turkey's prime minister maintains is against a terrorist group. There are some people confusing the olive branch operation that we've been conducting in Afrin with East Ghouta, he said. It's obvious that the UN Security Council's resolution refers to East Ghouta. But Washington insists the Turks are mixed up.
Would you agree that the district of Afrin is in Syria?
The district, yes. If you look at a map, it is certainly within Syria. I would encourage Turkey to go back and read this resolution, the unanimously agreed upon resolution on Saturday.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says it's sending an aid convoy to Afrin to help some 50,000 displaced people. It's thought to be the first time this year that charities have secured an agreement from all warring sides in the area for humanitarian deliveries.
The British unit of Toys R Us has gone into administration, putting more than 3,000 jobs at risk. It's hoped all or part of the firm will be sold. Toys R Us has more than 100 stores across the UK. They'll remain open until further notice. The company has been struggling against internet giants such as Amazon. Its results over the crucial Christmas period were worse than expected, and it's planning to close at least 150 stores in the US.
Over 57,000 illegal firearms, including machine guns and a rocket launcher, were handed in by the public during a recent gun amnesty in Australia. The amnesty allowed owners to surrender their arms without penalty. Prince William will make the first royal visit to the Palestinian territories and Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the trip was historic. The visit, which will also include a stop in Jordan, is planned for later this summer.
We
Greater and faster connectivity is just around the corner. In 2020, 5G promises to be a reality for most of us. The fifth generation network has been a crowd favorite at the Mobile World Congress. The race is on to deliver 10 gigabytes per second to ever-growing and data-hungry customers.
In order to connect all the things, we need to have a network that is able to accept. We are predicting a million of accesses in the square kilometers. So we need to have many devices connected in the same location. And that is the new architecture and algorithm behind the 5G.
With faster, ubiquitous, low-power connectivity, mobile networks will change our way of relating to each other and the world. By 2020, it's thought most of us will be connected somehow to the cloud via devices. It will herald new artificial intelligence to monitor our health, our homes, and how we get about in cities.
The car will be integrated much more in the digital life of our customers. Which means like you have your smartphone or your smartwatch or you're using Amazon Alexa, the car will be one of these digital touch points you have, you interact with in a totally different way, since the car at the end of the day is a really powerful mobile computer.
Our correspondent at the Mobile World Congress says the deployment of 5G technology has become a strategic objective for the European Union. It's estimated that it will generate an economic activity of 130 billion euros per year, as well as 2.5 million jobs by 2025. In addition, Brussels will launch a 5G European Observatory.
Dominic Thiem and Juan Martin Del Potro have set up a quarter-final meeting in the Mexican Open. Del Potro faced a stiff battle against David Ferrer. The Argentinian took the first set 6-4, but the Spaniard hit back to take the second set by the same score. Del Potro held his nerve to win the decisive set 6-3.
Set y partido. Del Potro. 2-1. 6-4, 4-6, 6-3. 6-4.
Third-seeded Thiem made easy work of rising Canadian star Denis Shapovalov, powering into the final eight with a 6-2, 6-3 victory. It took Thiem, the 2016 champion in Acapulco, just 70 minutes on court to set up the clash with former US Open champion Del Potro.
For his avatar, game, set, match, team, 2 sets to love, 6-2, 6-3.
New Orleans Pelicans found their range in the final 2 minutes to ease past the San Antonio Spurs, 121-116. Anthony Davis was the star of the show with 26 points and 15 rebounds.
Went back again as Davis gets the...
The visitors had been trailing by up to 15 points before they rallied to win their seventh game on the trot.
Mills just drills a jumper.
Rondo, always thinking pass first, and gets his big fella in the leg.
Jrue Holiday finished with 25 points for the Pelicans.
Holiday stops at the line and drills the three.
San Antonio, which had been without superstar Kawhi Leonard for all but 9 games this season, lost LaMarcus Aldridge to a sprained ankle late in the second half.
Davis with the dunk.
Time and tide wait for no man, and the Australian Mick Fanning says he will be hanging up his surfboard this month. Nicknamed the White Lightning, he won his first Champions Tour title as a wildcard in 2001 and went on to win 3 world titles. He grabbed international headlines for his encounter with 2 sharks in 3 years at the Jay Bay Open. In South Africa in 2015, he was dragged off his board on live TV and had to punch a great white to escape. Another encounter 2 years later saw him being plucked to safety. Fanning says he has been surfing competitively for 17 years and has lost the drive to compete day in, day out. The 36-year-old says he will call it a day after the Rip Curl Pro Bells tournament this month.
Download the Euronews radio app on your mobile. Available on iTunes and Google Play. Euronews Radio, a direct connection with the world. Find out more about Euronews Radio on euronewsradio.com. Euronews Radio. Euronews Radio, a different perspective on the news. Euronews Radio, all the latest news every 30 minutes.
Euronews Radio, the weather.
Snow in London today, temperature between 2 and 3. Scattered showers in Paris, temperature between 4 and 8. Snow is expected in Brussels today, with temperature between 1 and 3. Very cloudy in Oslo, with sub-zero temperatures between minus 10 and minus 5. In Barcelona, it will be very sunny today, with temperatures between 9 and 16. Minus 20 is morning in Moscow, minus 9 in the afternoon, and there are sunny skies. Scattered showers in New York today, temperature between 4 and 7. Rain is expected in Sydney, temperature between 19 and 24. Risk of a thunderstorm in Rio de Janeiro, with temperatures between 24 and 32. And sunny spells in Johannesburg, with temperatures between 14 and 25.
All you need to know is on Euronews Radio.